let's stay focused. Let us prepare ourselves. Let us join our hearts before the Lord Father. The where and how and why you lead us belongs to you. The desire to follow you belongs to us. And so let us remember to follow you. Thank you, Father. Lesson this morning said forgiveness of sins. Ask! And so we do. Before we can take one more step into finding our hearts open and ready for the rest of the message today, we ask for your forgiveness as we are sinners. Saved, yes, but we still fall short. Thank you, Father. And thank you for the blessings. Thank you for great blessings, like having a child standing up here singing your hymns and hearing that. Having children that are amply desiring to find Christ. And for the parents who see to it, they do. Thank you, Father, for the blessings placed upon us when we least expect it. The chance to step outside of our normal world and help somebody out. Amen to that. Even if it's something as simple as prayer, which is felt, and you have told us it will be felt, it will be heard, it will be answered. And praise God for Hannah. Thank you, Father. We are continually praying that her recuperation, her recovery continues to advance. And for families that have lost so much, we pray, Father, that you would move rain across the land in great torrents in Colorado and extinguish those fires. That here during the cleanup, people would find some hope, some joy. And that you would teach us consistently, we are not to open a door you've shut, regardless of how bad we want to. Thank you, Father, for this church right here, right now. Thank you for this moment that we would band together as brothers and sisters. Thank you for this country. As we approach that day where we remember the signatures on a scratched piece of paper. Oh, how I wish and pray and hope and live to the day when this nation returns back to one nation under God, built on the belief of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. End of it. Pray those leaders would find that, Father. Thank you for those who serve us, military, police, fire, rescue, in the hospitals, in the nursing homes. And for those that are not with us here today, for whatever reason, be it traveling mercies, frailties of the bodies, Father, let them feel our prayers. For we place it in your hands through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Matthew chapter 11. It's hot out there, ain't it? Remember the days when we used to not have fans and air conditioning in church and we all had them sticks with the blade on it? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it reminds me that some of you all may fall off and get a little bit heavy-eyed in the heat. Like a certain grandfather that would fall asleep every Sunday while grandma was up there singing in the choir. One morning she paid the grandson 50 cents. She said, every time you see him nodding off, you poke him. They got to the other end of the service and he slept clean through it. She got him out in the parking lot and said, I'll give you 50 cents. He said, Pat, give me a dollar to let him sleep. I'm going to keep you awake today. I'm going to yell a lot. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Short and simple. Short and simple. Jesus saying these words, when he's promising rest for the soul, comes to this point. We know these words, but we need to hear them again. Starting in verse 28, he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. May God add his blessings to this as we search for him. Would you join with me, please, in prayer? Father, open our hearts and our minds. Let this lesson today be what we need to fill us up for the week to come, reminding us of the week previous. May we be amply ready to go out and stretch forth our hands and talk openly of Christ, that those who would hear would come to know him. Thank you for this message, Father. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Now I know today that I'm supposed to be preaching about the 4th of July. And I know the things I'm supposed to be preaching about because that's what you're supposed to do because it's 4th of July. You're supposed to be preaching simple messages like, don't buy fireworks. Done broke that one. All about the Declaration, we all know that. But my heart was led somewhere else today. We all understand that this country was founded on the worship, to freely worship Jesus Christ. Not freedom of religion. That's what it was founded on. And my heart got led in a different place today. Actually, it has been all week. Actually, it was last week. But the sermon last week took off. And I've been up here lately, as I am wont to do, when I bite into something, as my wife says, I may not let go of it for several weeks. And I will beat on you all. Because I want it to get in here. Now, most of you don't have a head of hard concrete like I do, but I still beat and beat, but not today. Today, I got reminded of something last weekend, a very simple statement. Jesus misses you. Can you think about that for a minute? He misses you. Now, where in the world does that come from? He wants you to be in his fold. He wants you to rest with him. He misses you. And I mean truly and completely. And I got it in the most simplest place. He loves us so much that he misses us. And to him, we are the reason he sacrificed himself. Well, he didn't have to. He had it all. He came down here in the hot and heat. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if we think it's hot there, go to the desert. Bud, you were over there in Israel. Was it hot? What? It's 113 degrees in Iraq and Afghanistan, where our soldiers pack on an additional, 45 pounds of gear? Every day? Oh, I'd be dead in 15 minutes. I had to pick up David from the airport this past week at 10 minutes to 12. Chris helped me out there. He met me in Myerville and took him the rest of the way home. And David kept talking about the Jarawat Indians and going down. I said, David, I am not going down there. Well, at least I don't think I am. It's hot and humid. And although I am the picture of health, Jesus came down into this dirty old world because he missed us and he loved us and sacrificed himself for us. And I started to get it last weekend that he missed us. Now, what I'm about to share with you, I have not shared with another single solitary soul, and I'm going to pay the price for this after church. So why don't we just keep this our little secret? Let's not let anybody else know. It don't go outside these walls, right?
The sermon's being recorded.
Oh, yeah, that's right, it is. The kids were at Farm Safety Camp last weekend. We talked about that. And I missed them. Oh, I missed them bad. We were the most pitiful pair of parents you've ever seen in your life. We had the whole house to ourselves. We didn't have no children for 3 days. And what did we do? We kept sitting there looking at each other going, what do you want to do now? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Let's watch TV. Let's go do this. I wonder what the boys are doing right now. I missed my sons greatly. I didn't say it because the ball of tears already over there was going wide open. First time at camp. But it got me to thinking how much I missed having my sons around, even when they're acting up, which is pretty much the entire time they're awake. I'm right there with you, Gail, now. I missed them. I love them. I miss my wife when I'm away at work. I miss being at home, but I miss having my children near me. And like a light bulb, I got the feeling what God misses. He misses you when you're not at home, when you're not with Him, when you're not right there next to Him. Jesus Christ in those sayings is telling you, I love you so much. I miss you so much. I've got these big arms. I will give you the place to rest. Please come back. It was amazing to me, the story you gave to the children. Did you read the sermon title and figure out my sermon? Did you understand that? The parable of the lost sheep. Missed one sheep so much, he left the other 99 sick. That's Jesus Christ. That's God's love. He misses you. That's why He talks to you. And your conscience. When you're acting up. I don't want you to be this person. I don't want you to be away from the faith. I don't want you to be out there somewhere. And we know He misses us. How much does He miss us? We have mumbled through this song dozens of times. It's the song you sing at the end of revival when you want everybody to come up. It's the song you sing when everybody's headed down to the water to be dunked. It's a song you sing because it's got a nice melody, but you've not listened to the words. I'll guarantee you in the last 20 times you've sung it. Now I'm going to speak them. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals, He's waiting and watching. Watching for you and me. He misses you. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and me? Why should we linger and heed not His mercies, mercies for you and for me? Time is now fleeting. Moments are passing. Passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering. Deathbeds are coming. Coming for you and for me. Oh, for the wonderful love He has promised. Promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, He has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. When was the last time you sang that song? Listen to the words. Every time I hear that song, I think of the back porch of the house. They're not around anymore, and I'm going to find them because I know somebody has them. But how many people grew up in here with a yellow bulb on the back porch? Am I the only one? It was supposed to keep the bugs away. Don't you remember that ugly yellow bulb? Mommy would flick that thing on, off and on, off and on, off and on, off and on. And I knew that was the first warning. And when she flicked it on and left it on, I knew my feet had better be heading for the back porch. It was time to come home. She missed me. It was time to come home and get rest. She missed having me there. I missed being around my children. Jesus Christ, as He watches over us, He misses us when we're not with Him. Yes, I missed my children. On Friday night, I remember going, it's pretty boring around here. Maybe I ought to go blow something up. Roll your Bibles around some. Luke chapter 15. Verse 8, Jesus telling a simple story. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. You see, it's real simple. Without you, I have nothing other than Christ. But without you, I don't have any brothers and sisters. I'll be lonely. Without you, Christ is calling. But then we turn it the other way around. And we look up to heaven and we say, without you, I'm lost. Without you, I've got nothing. Without you, I miss everything. It's a wonderful story to hear what Greg and Peggy went through. It's like the entire everything is filling the sermon pages up. Because yesterday, sitting at the family picnic, where my wife's family and friends descended on us like a herd of local swarm of locusts and almost tried to eat everything before I got done cooking, which would have been bad. Not really. We were sitting there and two of her dearest friends, one of them sitting across the table from me, and said, "What's your sermon about this Sunday?" I said, "Well, it's called Without You, and it talks about the fact that without us, Christ misses. Oh, He's got everything in the world, but you've got to get it in your head that He loved us so much, He came down here. That's how much He misses us." And then flip it around. Without you, Christ, I'm gone. And that's the way we need to remember it. It's called a relationship. It's called the love. It's called that He pleads with us. He calls with us. And she sat across the table from me and she goes, "I never thought you'd be a preacher, but now it makes perfect sense." And there I sat, you know, with food dripping off my beard and in the most unappealing manner talking about Christ, you helping that man up from the pavement, Frank talking to somebody out here in the audience, out here in the congregation, just mentioning that I'm a Christian, living the way you live that shows Christ within you, letting people see that there's something different about you, that the world has no hold on you, that the world is lost without you and wants you back in, but you belong to Christ. I give you rest. In Luke, you don't have to come around it, I've always read this verse a different way, but when you think about it, in the 19th chapter, in the 41st verse, Jesus is riding the colt into Jerusalem. His time is up. Several days from now, we who welcomed Him will kill Him. All part of God's plan. But in the 41st verse, it says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, now it's hidden from your eyes. Wept. Because he knows. Those he misses, many of them won't come back. And the Bible's very clear, brothers and sisters, that one day it's going to be too late. And I don't just mean one magical day. One day you're going to harden your heart and reject God to the point where he ain't going to miss you anymore. Oh, he'll still be sad for it, but your heart will be turned. And there are those out there. And believe you me, even though I heard this week that the rapture is not real, when Christ comes and raptures us, and the Holy Spirit is gone, there's going to be a lot of hard hearts. But for the time being, without you, he's sad. He's sad. He weeps. He hurts. He wants. I'm a father. Now, I'll grant you I'm not the best example of one. As I learned from my children last week when they came home from safety camp. Daddy, we learned all about tractor safety, and you're not very safe on tractors. Let me explain something to you, Buster. Well, never mind. I teach them some rather unique habits from time to time. I've quietly each given them a dollar. One day when they're out there shooting their BB guns, if they happen to pick one of them goats next door that won't shut up sometimes. But I love my children, and I don't want them to be hurt. I don't want them to be in pain. I don't want them to make the same mistakes that I made, and I won't let them. And I would miss them greatly if they weren't with me. If you've been a parent or been involved in someone's life in any capacity, you know what it's like to miss them. Amen? That's how he feels. That's how I got to where I got. That's how I got to feeling that way. But the beautiful thing is, he don't have to miss you long. If you've stepped off, step back on. Get in that prayer mood. Get back right with him. But it's beautiful to me that that's how much Jesus loves me, you, that he misses us. That one day he is going to be happier than you can possibly imagine when we're all home, when we're all with him in glory, when we're all sitting there eating fried chicken listening to bluegrass. At least at my table you will be. But when we're all home shouting, praising, glorifying him. But without you, he misses. Without you, Christ, we miss. And that's the message I want you to take out to the people. When they ask, who is Christ and what is he to you? He missed me. So he called to me, softly and tenderly, and I went home. And he's got a place for you. And he will give you weary, he will give your weary body rest. And he will love on you, and he will lift you up, and he will be there. As I said last week, we read that from Hebrews. I will what? Never forsake you. I will what? Hey, I'm getting pretty good at this preacher thing. He loves us that much, brothers and sisters. Amen? Let us pray. Father in heaven above, we thank you so much. And it does put a smile on your face when you think about something that the world often calls mystical, and how can you believe in what you can't see? And we have to look at the world. We can now smile for a moment thinking about, yeah, my Savior misses me and longs for the day when I'll finally come home. I miss my Savior. And I long for the day when I will go home. And because of that beautiful relationship, we can teach others about how much Christ misses them and wants them to come home. Father, let us take that message forward this week and share it out there with all who would listen. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Which I'm closing just as I am. It's prayer time. It's time for the strengthening in prayer. As we come before this last hymn, we have the altar wide open. If you need that prayer, if you need that strengthening, come home. Amen.
Please stand and turn to page 488.
Sisters, upon you all the blessings that heaven would have, upon you all the strength that you will need to go through this week, upon you discernment to stay true to the one who misses you. Now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I pray upon you forever and ever. In his kingdom will you be placed. Amen.